Welcome to today's deep dive into the Apple event September 2026 analysis. Okay, let's unpack this, because the absolute biggest shock of the entire event wasn't actually what they announced. It was, well, what was missing from the stage.
Yeah, that empty space where the standard flagship phone should have been.
Exactly. I mean, if you've been following the notes on Apple's strategy shift under their new CEO, John Ternus, you know, you tune into these events for that baseline phone reveal, but the iPhone 18 was just completely absent.
Right. It's pushed all the way to spring 2027. And what's fascinating here is the why behind it. It really comes down to escalating memory costs and global supply chain bottlenecks.
Wow. So they just entirely fractured their traditional release schedule.
They did. By splitting it up like that, Apple secures two completely focused sales cycles in a single fiscal year. And crucially, it stops the cheaper entry-level models from, you know, cannibalizing the initial sales of their high-margin devices.
Oh, I get it. So the fall event is now exclusively for the ultra-premium stuff. It's kind of like a major movie studio clearing out all its smaller indie films just to ensure nothing distracts from the massive summer blockbuster.
That is a perfect analogy. They essentially cleared the runway for their biggest gamble yet.
Right. But if you hold back your standard phones to clear the runway, what massive piece of hardware needs that much space?
The foldable, finally. Mm-hmm. The iPhone Duo.
Here's where it gets really interesting because, I mean, Apple is 7 years late to flexible displays. Are we really supposed to applaud them for adding a hinge when rivals are on, like, generation 8 of their foldables?
Well, you have to look at what that delay bought them. The wait was highly calculated to bypass the physical wear and tear that plagued all those early competitors. They developed a really mature magnetic articulation engine.
A magnetic articulation engine? Wait, what does that actually do?
It's not just a marketing term. It uses magnets to actively pull the 7.6-inch inner display taut when you open it. That prevents the screen from creasing over time and really minimizes mechanical stress.
Oh, wow. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And plus, the extra development time let them design a massive 5,400 to 5,800 milliamp hour dual cell battery.
So they split the battery across both halves of the frame.
Exactly. Instead of one heavy power bank, splitting it fundamentally changes the device's center of gravity. So having a huge inner screen and a 5.5-inch outer screen actually feels perfectly balanced in your hands rather than awkwardly top-heavy.
But wait, to get it that thin, didn't they have to make some pretty heavy compromises? Like Face ID is just gone, right?
Yeah, they had to ditch the camera arrays required for Face ID entirely because of severe physical thickness constraints. They went with a capacitive Touch ID sensor instead.
Like built into the screen?
No, actually built right into the ultra-thin slide power button. It reads the tiny electrical currents in your fingerprint. Oh, and it's strictly eSIM only globally now. No physical SIM tray.
Just to save internal space. Unbelievable. But, you know, to run two screens and intense iPad-style multitasking, you need serious processing power. And a device working that hard is going to generate massive amounts of heat. So what does this all mean for the processor?
Well, that brings us to the new A20 Pro chip, which is manufactured on a TSMC 2-nanometer process. To put that in perspective, the transistors inside this chip are literally just a few atoms wide.
That is insane.
It is. But the real breakthrough is actually the packaging. Apple shifted to a side-by-side layout known as WMCM rather than stacking the RAM directly on top of the CPU like they've done for years.
Stacking the memory on top of the processor always seemed like trying to run a high-end gaming PC inside a tightly sealed shoebox. All that thermal energy just gets trapped and chokes the system.
Right, exactly.
And moving to a side-by-side layout is more like spreading out in a king-size bed. The processor finally has room to breathe.
I love that comparison. If we connect this to the bigger picture, spreading out that thermal density allows the chip to directly interface with the liquid vapor chamber.
Wait, a vapor chamber inside an iPhone?
Yeah. It's basically a tiny sealed pocket of liquid that continuously evaporates to pull heat away from the chip and then condenses back into liquid as it cools. This gives the iPhone Duo a 40% higher sustained thermal limit.
40%? That is a massive jump.
It's huge. And that thermal overhead is literally the only way the device can run local Apple Intelligence tasks on its 32-core neural engine without burning the user's hands.
Which is wild to think about. So for you listening to this deep dive, it really reveals an Apple that is willing to fracture a decades-old release schedule and completely overhaul its hardware architecture just to deliver these high-end, heat-efficient AI experiences.
It does. And this raises an important question about the physical cost of artificial intelligence. I mean, if Apple is now willing to globally eradicate the physical SIM tray just to make room for hinges and dual batteries, what's next?
Right, like what other standard hardware features are on the chopping block?
Exactly. Buttons, ports, maybe even speakers.
What standard features will disappear next to feed the massive physical and thermal demands of AI?
From what was missing on the keynote stage to what's missing on the phone itself. Something for you to think about the next time you hold your device.